November 10th, 2021. Lessons learnt being remote. I suppose many of you reading this are doing so because the theme of remote working is top of mind, and like myself, over the past year you found yourself in a deep hole of blog posts and podcasts trying to give you all the tips on how to work remotely, how to manage a team remotely, and how to do so without burning yourself out and becoming a tyrant. Well, I'm not going to bore you with another bullet point list that tells you how to get a standing desk, drink more water, trust your team, and don't be an arsehole. What I wanted to write down was some of the other things I've learned over the past 10 years of being an on and off remote worker, and from the past 5 years of managing a predominantly remote team. So here goes. Learn how you work best. The year 2020 will be remembered for many things, but aside from the obvious, the positive thing it should be remembered for is that it was a time for reflection. Reflection on the way we work, reflection on our jobs and our companies, self-reflection on our purpose, our values and what we want from life. Many people have had quite significant changes in their lives due to this period. One of the things I have learnt from remote working and reflected on a lot during this time was the deep understanding of when and where I work best. I know that I am most creative in a room with other people. That I develop strategy through research and deep thought in a room by myself, with no distractions. I know I write emails first thing the morning, and I only write blog posts on the sofa, or the train, and that by 4 p.m. my brain is fried, and I need to work on mostly admin. Location matters. And many of us know, having working situations where we can choose where we work, you need to think about this in your own setting if you are to be successful. Not all work needs to be done at the same time, in the same place, or even with the same people. Take time to understand your energy levels, when and where different types of work are best done for you, and then communicate that with people. Often we think we need to work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, because that is what everybody else is doing, and that is what everyone else demands of us, when in fact that might not be true at all. Have open, honest conversations about this with your peers within your team and try and build something out that keeps you all working at peak performance and is more sustainable for all involved. This also touches on another important point that I found for myself and I recommend to all leaders for their own organisation. Get therapy. I mean it. Even if you don't think it's for you and you don't think you'll get anything from it, give it a try. Think of it like coaching or a buddy to bounce thoughts and ideas off if it makes it easier for you. Take the time to find someone that works for you and take the steps to learn about yourself. I spent years now trying to learn about how and why I do the things I do, trying to build my EQ and challenge my behaviours. I can honestly say it has made me a better husband, father and leader. Mixed medium communications. Everyone will tell you that communication is critical and a key skill to learn, irrespective of your role or the circumstances. Many of the recent blog posts over the years have emphasised the importance of over-communicating and looking towards a future of asynchronous working. One small tip that I learned over the past couple of years is around mixed-medium communication. As a leader, your words matter and every message you send needs to be delivered with intentionality. When doing so, the received wisdom on a communications plan, business speak, is to make sure you're repeating your message 2, 3, 4 times before people start to get it. That is absolutely correct, but the important part that many folks miss, and I had to learn the hard way, is that this should be done through different mediums. Why? Well, much like people learn differently, people also have preferred ways to send and receive any information. I prefer to receive information on slides because I'm a visual learner, but prefer to deliver information in written form because it allows me to further express context and nuance. Everyone is different, and therefore it's important to be inclusive of everyone's needs when delivering important information. I've also found that by forcing myself to articulate things through different mediums, that with each iteration, I gain something from the medium and the message gains clarity. Hybrid working versus multi-location working. I'm talking about hybrid working now. And after a period of everyone working from home, there is a reflex, both individually and for companies, to move back into the office at least part of the time. This is being done with a range of intentions, some good, some not so good. What I've learned about hybrid working is that there is value in it when it's implemented in the truest sense, i.e. Assume remote and bring everyone together deliberately a couple of times a year with a clear purpose. Reread that last statement because it's where so many companies fall over. Bring everyone together. I am seeing, hearing and reading about a lot of different hybrid working scenarios, and the common mistake that many folks fall into is the hybrid working model of some on-site and some remote at the same time via remote collaboration tools, Zoom, Teams, etc. What happens in this scenario is that those on-site have the tendency to collaborate locally to the exclusion of working remotely. I have also seen this occur when there are two groups of people trying to collaborate across two separate office locations. Local conversations get prioritised over the collaboration of the group. This has led me to reflect on definitions. When talking about cloud computing, we've long had the debate on hybrid cloud, using cloud services spanning multiple clouds, and multi-cloud, using multiple clouds for different workloads, including the definitions of how valid each scenario is. I think we mirror these definitions when talking about different models of working. Hybrid working, collaborating at the same time across different locations, and multi-location, collaborating from the same location at different times. E.g., if someone is remote, then everyone should be remote. From what I have seen, hybrid working doesn't work, but multi-location working does. Remote is cultural. For most knowledge workers, getting set up to work from home is entirely possible. It may not be perfect, not everyone has the privilege of space and the right kit, but it's practically possible. We've all proven that in 2020. But by now, all of you have most likely already seen the pitfalls of companies who are good at this and companies who aren't. Remote first versus remote forced is a topic that arose when everyone was forced to be remote. Many companies and managers didn't adapt well when the office environment and their corner offices were removed. As companies are now looking to return more of the workforce into the offices, one has to reflect on the reasons why. There will be many reasons given: collaboration, team building, productivity, all of which have enough truth to them to be plausible, but often hide the more common fact that management hasn't adjusted to what's required to support a remote-first model. Two statements to remember. One, remote work only works if the whole business gets it, and if your boss does. A single team being remote in a company that isn't will never really work. Two, if your culture isn't at least a remote-friendly one now, it's unlikely to ever be. Remote working is a cultural change for an individual, for leaders, and for organisations as a whole. It takes time to learn, to grow, and to change to working remote successfully. It takes effort to encourage yourself and your teams to default to asynchronous methods of collaboration and be deliberate about when you're not. We will all make mistakes on this path. I have made so many. But it's all a journey to make sure we're living and working our most fulfilled lives.